1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. CBS News projects the presumptive presidential nominees, Democrat Joe Biden and Republican Donald Trump, will win their respective parties' races in West Virginia and Maryland. Jim Justice is projected to win the Senate GOP race in West Virginia. And whoever wins Maryland's Democratic Senate race will face former Governor Larry Hogan, who's projected to win his GOP race. CBS's Scott McFarland reports.
Popular Republican in a blue state is the overwhelming favorite to win his party's nomination for a critical seat.
The Department of Justice says it's deciding whether to prosecute Boeing. CBS's Robert Legarry says the DOJ made the announcement in a letter filed in Texas federal court.
Prosecutors wrote Boeing breached its obligations of the deferred prosecution agreement that it sought to resolve allegations that the company engaged in a conspiracy to defraud regulators following two deadly 737 MAX crashes. As part of the agreement, Boeing had agreed to pay over $2 billion. But in Tuesday's letter, prosecutors said Boeing did not hold up its end of the deal and failed to implement compliance and ethics programs.
A pickup truck driver is under arrest for a DUI after a deadly crash in Central Florida. 8 people are dead, some 40 injured after their bus rolled over while taking migrants to a farm for work. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez reports.
Late this afternoon, we learned about the arrest of the pickup truck driver. Police apparently seem to have enough evidence that they believe they can prove that he was drunk at the time of the accident.
CBS News confirms that the Biden administration has told Congress it intends to transfer $1 billion in weapons to Israel. Congress will need to approve the transfer. Israel targeted Hamas with an intense round of strikes in Gaza today. That includes in the south, where hundreds of thousands of people are fleeing Rafah. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb has more from Tel Aviv.
As Israel marked its Independence Day, thousands of Israeli settlers also marched towards Gaza, demanding the right to rebuild settlements inside the Palestinian territory, while others also tried to block aid from entering.
Defense attorneys questioned the prosecution's star witness, Michael Cohen, in former President Donald Trump's hush money trial and tried to portray Trump's former attorney as an opportunist motivated by revenge. CBS's Robert Costa has details.
Inside court and under questioning by prosecutor Susan Hoffinger, Cohen testified about a 2017 Oval Office meeting where he and Trump allegedly discussed his reimbursement for the $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels. Cohen, who took a picture during his visit, said Trump knew the financial records would be cast as ordinary legal expenses.
Cohen returns to the stand on Thursday for more questioning by both sides. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A healthcare system serving eastern Wisconsin is working with the FBI to try to unfreeze their computers. Ascension health officials confirmed last week a ransomware attack has frozen their computer system. Ascension isn't saying how much money the hackers want. The University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension is using a $1 million federal grant to teach the public about large-scale solar and wind farms in different communities. Extension's Sherry Gruder says communities are also urged to give feedback.
Endangered species in the area, will they be protected to what happens to the water and the wells when the land isn't being farmed for that time?
33 large-scale solar developments are in place or under development in Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
UW Green Bay hires a new basketball coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A day after Sundance Wicks announced he was going back to Wyoming to become the head coach there, UW Green Bay has hired Doug Gottlieb as their new men's basketball coach. Gottlieb played some college ball at Notre Dame and Oklahoma State, has done some coaching, but as a network radio sports talk show host the past 20 years, his father Bob was a former head basketball coach at UWM. NFL, the Packers' regular season schedule will be released tomorrow, officially on the NFL. NFL Network at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Baseball, the Brewers and Pirates in Game 2 tonight. Pittsburgh came out on top last night with an 8-6 win led by Brian Reynolds, who had a career 5 hits in a game, including a home run to finish off the night. Pirates manager Derek Shelton.
I mean, I thought we swung the bats really well. They played really good defense. I mean, Adames made 2 or 3 great plays. Terang made a great play, but overall, we continued to go.
That's the Pirates manager, Derek Shelton, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the low 40s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow. Nice day with highs in the low 70s. Some showers and storms possible tomorrow night and early Thursday. Some sun in the late afternoon and highs into the low 70s. It's 60 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up next on the show, we talk to the co-founder of Courage MKE, 1133 public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we got a jam-packed show here. Thanks to our producer, Haley, here. I have to roll out of bed here after my little nappy and ask her what the show's about. And it sounds like we got a great show here. We have our friend Ruth Buffalo on. And there's Ruth right there. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Matsukidads. Thank you for having me.
Right on. And Ruth, you are the CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis, and a lot going on, and great to have you on and give us some updates of this great organization and how we can support it.
Yes, thank you. We do have a lot going on. I am thankful and super happy and proud to be in this new role of CEO, president of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I stepped into this role about maybe 10 or 11 weeks ago, I think, on March 4th, 2024. And definitely hit the ground running, I would say, in like a dead sprint. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, been very interesting, and just trying to help stabilize our agency and keep the doors open for 7 generations ahead and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got a great history of a lot of great leaders, and it's really great to have you on and talk about you now as the new leader. Your vision to what's going to happen there. I know there's so many things that happen for the community. And also there's a support aspect that I think us as good relatives here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island need to know about how we can support such a great organization with such a great history.
Yes, thank you. Definitely donate. We need... we welcome all donations, monetary donations. Actually just visited with a fellow nonprofit in the area here who helps they're a volunteer organization, and they help with renovations, and they did a good amount of renovations, I believe, this past fall of 2023, and they're hoping to return. They're actually going to be here tomorrow to do some work on the north side of our building in the playground area. And so we have a lot of lot of things on deck and in the docket, but definitely please donate. We're super thankful for all of our supporters, you know, past and present. There's a donate tab on our website, miwrc.org, and donate. I believe it comes up right when you click on miwrc.org. We are, you know, super grateful for all of the donations and support. But yes, we are still here, and we have an amazing staff, you know, who are very committed to the future of MIWRC and our client relatives that we serve. And so we are, again, stabilizing all of the existing programs that we have, but we also are helping make sure that our staff are supported, you know, through self-care and our personal wellness, and doing things as a staff, as a collective, to make sure that we are centering our healing as well, so that we can be of service and continue to be of service to the community that we serve. So those are some of the things that are top of mind right now.
Awesome. And, you know, you have awesome services, awesome. I'm using that word awesome a lot today. really, really cool things happening there. I know you bring in relatives that help with, you know, making ribbon skirts. And so there's big talking circles that happen there. Can you talk a little bit about what happens during the week there at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Yes, a lot of programming, a lot of outreach, home visits. We have a new sexual assault empowerment group for Native women starting up May 24th from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Our Nujimo She They Heals program will be holding a monthly support group for Native women who are survivors, or those who identify as women are definitely welcome and will be embraced. And so survivors of sexual violence, gender-based violence, we provide a safe space to support Native women and, you know, trans relatives, to provide culturally specific crafts and discuss topics conducive to healing. And then there will be a free meal and refreshments provided. Please contact Penelope Sanchez at psanchez@miwrc.org. So that's one new group that's popping up right now. Nujimo also does weekly visits into the correctional facilities and helps survivors of violence, you know, gender-based violence. And so with a lot of supportive wraparound services. Downstairs, we have the drop-in center, and that is also open on a daily basis, where we're helping serve client relatives who are unhoused, may come in, seek services. Right now, we don't have in-house any behavioral health or addiction services, so we do a lot of referral services. In the past, MIWRC did have all of those services in-house, but we're definitely strengthening existing and past partnerships. Like, for example, Native American Commission, I'm thinking of Fargo language, Native American Community Clinic, NAC, are super amazing partners of ours. They host a cedar ceremony here every month in the community room within the MIWRC building. We also have the Family Services Department that has a lot of home visits, outreach through kinship care, life skills, parenting, and also other outreach and parenting curriculum classes. And then we have our traditional birthing program that does a lot of outreach and supportive services. And then we have our learning center that has a couple trainings on deck, Native American 2-day training focusing on substance use disorder, also another SUD training on deck as well. And then we have housing. We have a housing navigator who is helping stabilize housing for our relatives unhoused. We had the top two floors of the MIWRC building, they are going to be renovated. And we had a huge process that took place before I got here, where there was a relocation process and plan. And it's been interesting, but I'm hearing a lot of feedback, which is good, you know, of sort of success stories of families that, you know, it was hard for them to move. Some of the families had lived here for 12 years, you know, a huge life-changing event, but they actually were moved into more of an independent setting, nicer environment, nice house, you know. So it's, there's some success stories there, and I just really want to give credit to our amazing staff who continue to show up day in and day out, providing selfless service and continuing to center our client relatives' voices and try to make sure that our staff, they themselves are whole, you know, and able to help others effectively.
It's amazing. I got to bring my video crew down there because and videotape this. This is just amazing what you all do there. Let's talk a little bit when we come back how our listeners can support what's going on there and websites and things like that. And because this is some great work you're doing there. I want to call you representative, but your CEO, Ruth Buffalo. And we're so happy to have you on, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we come up. Okay, Ruth shaked her head. Yes, it's okay. We'll be right back after this short break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
NEMA, the Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, is celebrating 29 years of Art-A-Whirl, the nation's largest open studio and gallery tour. This popular free event is a rite of spring and a great opportunity to tour private artist studios and galleries, connect with artists, and purchase original artwork. Over 1,300 artists are spread across 100 sites throughout Northeast Minneapolis to participate in Art-A-Whirl. From potters and painters, weavers and woodworkers, to musicians and glassblowers. Over 30 mediums are represented, and Art-A-Whirl takes place at studio buildings, galleries, breweries, and restaurants throughout the Northeast Minneapolis neighborhood. Art-A-Whirl runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 17th through 19th. Visit NEMA's Art-A-Whirl website to access the artist directory, maps, dining, and brew guides, and find demos, music performances, and interactive activities for everyone. Free Metro Transit passes and Art District trolley service is also available. Discover it all at NEMA.org. That's NEMAA.org.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program or TAP is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Love that tagline, as I always say. Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis. And we're talking about the great things that that organization does. And Ruth is the leader. And Ruth, I want to, because I have a good memory, but it's short, I want to bring up right away how people can support this great organization that are listening in.
Yes, our website is miwrc.org. We do have a Instagram page, miwrc2024. We have had some hiccups, unfortunately, with the transition of leadership. And so you might see on Facebook a page that has about, I think, maybe 5,000 to 7,000 followers, but the last post on there was from like October of 2023. We're still trying to gain access to that. And then, early April, I think April 2nd, the second Facebook page was deactivated when a staff member, former staff member left, you know? And so just being clarifying and being open and honest there. Those are the hiccups that we, challenges that we face. So we're debating on whether or not to create a third Facebook page, you know, or just continue to wait patiently to try to get gain access to the one Facebook page that is up and running. We know that as natives, Native Americans, we're one of the top populations that use Facebook, you know, so it's tough when you don't have access. And it's also tough when you get blasted on Facebook too, in that respect, people say, pluses and minuses.
Well, Haley blocks those messages out for me, so I don't see them. Thanks, Haley.
Yeah. Hey, the spam messages are constant on Facebook.
Yeah. Hey, Haley, you had a good question during the break here about the parade and the float.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Ruth, didn't the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, you guys took home first prize for the kickoff parade for Indian Month here, right?
Yes, we did. We took first place out of, I think, 24, 25 floats, and it was definitely tough competition. And, you know, there again, our staff, you know, stepped up and completely shined and did an amazing job. You know, we have artists, we have so many talented people on staff and very, very creative with good hearts. And so it's amazing to see. But yes, we definitely needed that boost, and that was amazing to see. Our staff take first place in the May 1st American Indian Month kickoff parade.
Yeah, definitely. That was exciting. And now I think we have something to shoot for, Haley. You can start working on our float for Native Roots Radio right away.
I know. What, it could be like a boom box or something.
Big microphone. Yeah, we definitely were already planning, you know, planning ahead, trying to hold that title. So big responsibility.
Uh-oh. It's on now, Haley.
Oh yeah, we got some stiff competition for sure. Right.
Well, what does a day look like with you at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? I know there's a lot of, like you mentioned, a Native American Community Clinic, and we know Native American Community Development Institutes right down the street. You know, those neighbors support, I know, support what you're doing, and it's great to have you part of the community.
Thank you. Yes, Madzigirads. Yes, a lot of the Native-led organizations have been super supportive and, you know, providing guidance on just even like when we had a snow day and, you know, just different things in passing, you know, that were super helpful. Like NACD and NAC are helping us, you know, partner with for future funding opportunities. And a day in a life of being here at MIWRC is I work at least 12-hour days. So this is kind of cut into my work day. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, yeah, last night I was here till about 8:45. You know, I usually get here 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. But, you know, we're not in the safest neighborhood also. And we had a staff member's vehicle broken into last week, Thursday, broad daylight, 2:00. We have security cameras, but we're beefing up those systems as well and security as well, you know. But and so that would happen in broad daylight. And yeah, so, you know, thankfully her car wasn't stolen. You know, they gained entry, but where she walked out right when they were in her vehicle, you know. And so it was a Kia. And then the next day we saw another Kia parked on the side of the road out there with their window bashed in. And, you know, so it's unfortunate, but so definitely have to be aware of our surroundings. But again, we're here and still, you know, want to wholeheartedly support and serve our community to the best of our ability. But we have a lot of amazing things going on here. You know, we're excited, gearing up for our open house. That will be this Thursday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have the amazing Deanna Standing Cloud, who will be our MC. We have painting, you know, cakewalk, a lot of even musical chairs, you know, just some fun games to, you know, engage with the community. We're inviting all community orgs to set up a booth free of charge, but it's just a time to come together. We're going to be grilling. You know, we have some amazing food and potato salad that will be a part of the day. So we hope you'll stop by 2300 15th Avenue South here in Minneapolis in the Phillips neighborhood, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
What the heck? A cakewalk? I have not.
we were trying to get a dunking booth too, you know, as a fundraiser, but maybe next time.
we could have Haley do it. It's a little chilly, but
you'll be in there, please.
He said, please. I guess
My son, he, you know, when I used to work for my tribal nation, I used to run our summer youth employment program, but they always had a really fun employee appreciation day, and they had a dunking booth. And my son, he's going to be a senior in high school next year, but he was maybe 8 years old at the time, but he won the dunking booth contest. Right. And he, you know, kept getting the CFO, dunked. But yeah, he has a good arm on him.
Well, that reminds me, now that you're back in Minnesota, are you a Vikings and Twins fan and a Lynx fan? What's happening here?
Lynx fan for sure, especially with the Alaska Native Samoan young lady. Hope to catch a few games, hoping that she may stop by and maybe say a few words to our client relatives. I was visiting with Sharon Day at one of the events, and I told her I'll follow her lead. You know, she's with Indigenous, or she leads Indigenous Peoples Task Force, and told her I'll follow her lead, Sharon Day, to like get the connects going with the Minnesota Lynx player. Or maybe we can ask our sister, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
Well, we can ask Haley. Haley knows the PR person for the Lynx and got her on the show the second day that
amazing. She signed. So,
can you say amazing. Her name again?
Great role model. What's that?
Alyssa Peely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm bad at names, so I have to have Haley here tell it. Say that name again. I think I was talking over you.
Alyssa Peely, the one and only Peely Power.
Right on.
And she made the roster recently, I saw. So yeah. It'd be amazing. We'll watch her. So yeah, it'd be awesome.
Definitely. Well, Ruth, so we got Timberwolves out of you, but not Vikings or the Twins. So we'll have to grill you next week when you come on. And hopefully you can come on every week and give at least a one segment update. I just have to reminisce with you for a second. And I've brought this up to you, but it was really, I always think of this in a good way when we, when I was bugging you to be on the show over the years, and you were flying. Do you remember you were flying somewhere?
And yes.
I interviewed Ruth the first segment, and she had to get into a plane and do some of her work. And I listened to the interview, and we talked early, and it was early in the morning. And then we interviewed later after you landed. And when I heard it play back, it was so funny. We were both so tired in the morning. And then in the second part, it was like we were wide awake.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like in between connections. And I think, I mean, during that time too, you know, being like in service or service to the people, which is around the clock, you know, like doesn't end when you're in and out of office or not, you know. But yeah, you always kind of, you know, don't want to say no to people. So, hey. To the people. So, hey, I would have said no. I would have helped either way, Robert, for sure.
I know. You know, I got to mention this too, and I don't know if a lot of our listeners remember this, but during COVID, we did a thing called Sunday Symposium across the country, and just to check in and see how people were handling COVID in Indian country. And Ruth, you had so many great guests on that show, that connections and people you knew grew up and played basketball with, and what was happening in Navajo Nation and with the doctor down there. I just want to give you a big peeny gigi, and maybe we can do another show some Sunday about what's happening and do that again. That was just, we had 10,000-15,000 people watching this on weekly on Facebook Live.
Yeah, no, that would be great. And for sure, you know, there's lots of pressing issues across and throughout Indian country, urban and, you know, rural. Also too, just throwing that out there, definitely welcome a meeting with the Twins and the Timberwolves too, you know, if they should feel so inclined to give a donation to Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Right on. Well, I think Wendy and I are going to the baseball game tomorrow, so I'll check in because we had our booth out there, and I know a few people, but we'll see. And It's great to have you on, and great to have you in the Twin Cities, and you're going to be doing great work as you have been in the past.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The primary results are being tallied in West Virginia, Maryland, and Nebraska. CBS News projects that presumptive presidential nominees, Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden, will win their respective parties' races in all three states. Jim Justice is projected to win the Senate GOP race in West Virginia, and CBS's Stacey Lynn reports that in Maryland,
Representative David Trone or Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks will face former Republican Governor Larry Hogan, who is projected to win the GOP primary for the open seat in a race that could tip the balance of power in the Senate.
The Justice Department says Boeing violated a 2021 deal that avoided prosecution after two 737 MAX crashes left 346 people dead. CBS's Chris Fox in Texas, where the letter was filed in federal court.
The DOJ claims Boeing failed to make changes to prevent it from violating federal anti-fraud laws, a condition of the $2.5 billion settlement in 2021.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Senate Republicans are voting to override nine of Governor Evers' vetoes. Critics say the moves are symbolic at best and election year posturing at worst. The overrides include bills to fight PFAS pollution and a population goal for gray wolves. Republicans don't have enough votes in the assembly for the overrides to hold up. Liberal justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court sound inclined to reopen unstaffed absentee ballot drop boxes. During oral arguments Monday, Rebecca Dallet said there's nothing in the law banning drop boxes.
We operate in the law with a general concept when the legislature writes a statute that things are permitted unless they're forbidden.
The race for president is expected to be close in Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. The Marvel train keeps on rolling, this time with Nicolas Cage. Cage will play an older version of Spider-Man in a new live-action show called Noir on MGM Plus and Prime Video. The 60-year-old actor plays a PI who is down on his luck while trying to come to terms with his past as Spider-Man and New York City's only superhero. The show is being adapted from the Marvel comic Spider-Man Noir. I like the PI angle, but trying to wrap my head around a Spider-Man with a gut and saggy man boobs who pulls a muscle every time he has to spin a web. Speaking of Marvel, Chris Hemsworth, or Thor, is tired of actors bad-mouthing Marvel Studios, saying it's not fair to want to be in a Marvel film and then bash it if it doesn't do well. Hemsworth was too classy to mention names. The New York Post was not. Christian Bale and Anthony Hopkins. Hemsworth talked about how much it hurt getting hate from directors like Scorsese, Coppola, and Tarantino, who he calls heroes. You see the irony? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the low 40s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, nice day with highs in the low 70s. Some showers and storms possible tomorrow night and early Thursday. Some sun in the late afternoon and highs into the low 70s. Right now it's 58.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. Matinaire on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matinaire on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and musical entertainer Rob Perivonian, who will sing a Beach Boys song about his grandpa. And we discuss the latest and greatest in binge-watchable entertainment.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis. With Minneapolis Air, here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thank you so much for coming back with us today. I am Christine McDonald. I'm the guest host today, and I am loving how this is going to roll right into each other. We talked with previously we're talking with employees with our employee resource group, spent a bit of time talking about what they do for the city of Minneapolis, what brought them in, why they wanted to work. And so we're going to continue with a topic about the city and about jobs, or better yet, having a career at the City of Minneapolis. And the City of Minneapolis Human Resources Department does plan to help residents get on that journey by bringing job opportunities and tips into the community. And so joining us now to talk about that is a very special guest, Dorothy Jackson, who is a recruiter with the city's HR department.
Thank you so much for having me, Christine and Haley. I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to be on radio for the first time with you all. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Do you want to tell us what you do as a recruiter for the City of Minneapolis?
Okay, so as a recruiter for the City of Minneapolis, I'm responsible for attracting and retaining talent into the City of Minneapolis. This includes promoting upcoming career and internship opportunities, providing support to potential applicants, also providing information that's very vital in the whole entire recruitment process. I'm also kind of woven into my fabrics a community engagement piece where I connect with underrepresented communities about getting the word out there, not just through social media, but I do this through career fairs and going to community events.
Can you tell us, how did you start working in local government?
So I started as a youth worker some years ago.
I said, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I started as a city step-up kid, ironically. So I didn't have a traditional background into HR. So I was a step-up kid, and once the summer was over, I'm like 18, and my internship was going to end. So I was like, I can't afford to not have a job, and I can't go straight to college. So I actually advocated for myself to stay on in their HR department. At the time, I was making a minimum wage, and my friends were making like $13 an hour. And I was like, I can leave here, or I can stay with this opportunity. So I stayed. I actually got placed at the Minneapolis Park Board. I stayed there for some years, which gave me that government experience. Then I was able to go to Ramsey County for several years. And my father was a Minneapolis firefighter from 93 to 2017. Wow. Yeah. And he passed in 2022. So I applied on a whim, and the city HR called me back, and I got an interview. Then I got a second interview, and I was like, okay, this is a sign and a spiritual symbol for me to go ahead and take it. So I've been with the city for about a year now. But I started with the government just as a youth worker in one of the programs. Uh-huh.
That is so amazing. I love to hear that. That's one of the things I don't think we really, I haven't had the opportunity to promote enough, is the opportunity to come into the city through Step Up. We also have, I can't remember, what's the other name? The Urban Scholars.
Urban Scholars.
Yes. So I'm loving, this is amazing. I'm really happy to hear that that's how you started your career in public service.
Yes.
So what kind of job opportunities can a job seeker find at the city?
So there are lots of opportunities at the city. We've got some entry levels and some professional levels. There are 28 departments at the city. So, of course, the bigger ones include, people automatically think of Public Works and the Minneapolis Police Department, Minneapolis Fire Department, Regulatory Services. And a lot of those help, you know, our cities run with a lot of the day-to-day functions. But there are a lot of other departments that are just as important and key. You should know, Christine, the neighborhood, community relations, civil rights, myself and human resources, we post jobs, and there are different levels. 911 call takers is something that I always highlight because we frequently post that, and that's one of our entry-level jobs. You just have to have a high school diploma and I think 1 year of experience and be able to type 35 words per minute. Some people have started as 911 call takers and they've been able to move around either in public safety or to move around in the city. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of different opportunities. Like, I mean, there are even positions in tech and IT that are entry level or professional level.
I don't think I mentioned this before, but so I've been with the city like 26 years, something like that. My first 13 years were actually in the human resources department. Okay. So I am, so I am really familiar. And that's how me and David became friends. I did the whole process for the fire department, for the application to the written test, to the, physical agility test, to the structured interviews. And I think one of the things that I was leery about starting to look for a job at the city was this civil service test. And the fact that I thought it was like one test. In fact, that's what my grandma told me, go take that test, go take that civil service test. And when I actually started working for the city in human resources, finding out that the civil service test is like a different test for each job. And it is really relevant to that job that you're applying for. So they're not all as intense as testing for fire or testing for police. Some of them really are just like structured interviews. But let's see. So let's talk about this new initiative. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say. Okay. When I was there, we would really talk about different ways to get people into the city. And pipeline jobs. And I think the best example of that is like fire. Like he mentioned, it's minimum qualifications. Basically, you got to be 18 and be able to have a driver's license. And then you get brought on. And the city then pays for you while you learn the book piece, the education piece to be a firefighter. And then they pay you to teach you the physical pieces to be a firefighter.
Right.
So not all of the jobs at the city do you have to come in with the skills right away. And I think people, it's important that they know that. And so that they go through the openings that we have and look at the different requirements that are needed. And so with that, can you tell us more about this new initiative that's been created to help residents get job ready for a career? Yes. What is this HR Bridges Level Up Your Career?
So as a recruiter, I could have sat behind my desk and just recruited from LinkedIn or from like Facebook, or Indeed, but I saw that we have local talent right here in our neighborhoods or in the metro area or just in Minnesota or Minneapolis, period. So I kind of wanted to incorporate like an outreach piece. A lot of people will reach out to me with recruiter with questions about the application process. Our application process is not very linear. You know that it's very unique. So I wanted to open up an opportunity for an event on May 22nd between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. HR will be in the community. We'll be partnering with the Career Force Center Northside, which is 800 West Broadway, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55411. At this event, HR will be present providing interview tips and tricks. We'll also be doing resume review and cover letter review and giving you advice on that. We will be providing free professional headshots and a free lunch. And then on top of that, there will be hiring managers directly there that you can kind of meet and talk to. And then they also have a computer lab. So if you wanted to go fill out an application, there will be someone from HR there to help you troubleshoot any of the applications or just give you a whole overview of our process, understanding the testing, answering the supplemental questionnaire. What does being on an eligible list mean? You know, should I apply again or just maybe getting some questions answered of an email of somebody that you sent a while back, just to get an understanding, to be more transparent about our process. We can't just hire whoever we want. So I wanted to give this like pilot this opportunity to be a resource to the community. So again, that's May 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a 100% free event. It's at 800 West Broadway, Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Career Force Center.
Thank you. It's a really important event, and I hope it is gets well attended. Thinking about all of the different things that you're bringing out to community, the headshots, the tips, interview tips, one thing that I want to bring up, like, it was like one of the most memorable times for me, events for me when I was in HR. We were recruiting for a traffic control agent, and I had this gentleman call me, and he was telling me, I really want to apply for this job. It fits in with what I'm doing right now. And he was going through and telling me all of his experience. And I'm like, yeah, that really sounds like it would be a good fit for you and that you have a lot of experience to bring in. And this is back when we were having like paper applications.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, so I happened to be standing out front at our at the receptionist desk at the time. And he came in and he dropped his application off. I'm like, okay, well, let me just take a look at this real quick for you. And this is the importance of being able to convey in writing your experience. As I looked at his application and everything he told me was missing. And so it's like, oh, wow. based on what he had put in writing, he would have probably not moved on to the next part of the process. And so I told him that. I said, we talked on the phone and you told me all of these things. And so I gave him the opportunity to take his application back and put in all the things he had told me on the phone. And I think that it's important to share that because people don't realize, like, I can tell you what I do, but they might not be good at putting on paper because it really is like that first screening process. That's what's going to determine whether or not you move forward in the application process. And he ended up getting hired and he sent me a thank you note. And he was like first generation resident from Somalia. And he's like, you don't understand what this does for me and my family and how I can be a role model for my kids. And I'm just like, I was like crying about it. But this is a really important event. And I'm really glad that you were able to come on today and tell me more about it. I do believe we're going to move on to a quick break and we'll come back again.
Christine, you're a pro. Good one. She's segueing us to the next commercial. Hey, we're with Minneapolis Air, Minneapolis American Indian Relations. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho-wa.
Ho-wa.
Attention, Native American community. As we prepare for American Indian Celebration Month in Minnesota this May, it's essential to prioritize the health and safety of our communities. With social gatherings and festivities on the horizon, getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is crucial. So let's make getting vaccinated a tradition, inclusive and cross-generational. Imagine gatherings filled with shared stories and cultural celebrations free from the shadow of COVID-19. Remember, protecting yourself and others is what counts. Whether it's time for an updated vaccine or your first shot, all COVID-19 vaccines offer protection, with the latest vaccine especially recommended for our elders over 65. As we gather with friends and relatives this May for American Indian Celebration Month, let's ensure everyone's safety by getting vaccinated. Together, we can uphold our traditions and keep our communities thriving. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air. Here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Good evening, and thank you for coming back to with us. Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. Dorothy, before we jump back into our conversation, can you again just tell our listeners about the HR Bridges event that's going to be happening?
Yes. So to reiterate again, the HR Bridges Level Up Your Career event is going, this is the first one. It's going to be piloted. It's going to be Northside. We do have tentative dates in the spring. We just want to get this one knocked out. I mean, in the fall, we just want to, that's going to be Southside. We just want to get this one knocked out. So this isn't going to be the only one. It's going to be Wednesday, May 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is a community event. It's 100% free. You can come in and meet directly with city hiring managers and HR professionals. We're going to be doing resume review, interview tips and tricks. We're also going to provide free professional headshots for your LinkedIn or personal or professional use. And also, it's going to be a free lunch on us. So any time before that window, you don't have to sign up. Just come in. And even if you just want the free lunch, that's okay. If you just want to come and talk, that's fine. You don't have to utilize all the
resources. For lunch.
Just come on. We're going to have box lunches for everyone.
Beautiful. Thank you. So back to our conversation. So why does the HR department want to bring HR Bridges and job tips and techniques into the community?
Well, we work for the city. So all of our work, when you sign on to become a city employee, you kind of make a promise to the residents of Minneapolis. No matter what you do, even if you think it's like back-facing work, it affects someone's day-to-day life. So as a recruiter, some of my friends that are recruiters in the private sector, they don't have to go out to these events. I think our presence is important because we have talent in our city. They just don't know. A lot of people don't know about the opportunities, or they don't, there were a lot of barriers 30 years ago and they haven't tried in a while and don't know that we're really trying to get talent in. Also, some people, they don't know of all the departments or know that they can even work there. I don't have a college degree, and I had to use my equivalencies and my lived-in skills to apply to a job, but I had an HR pass. If someone doesn't, it's like, we need to be able to get that information out there. So just being transparent about our process, and a lot of people ask these questions after the fact, after they don't get a job or don't get an interview. So I was trying to be proactive, like, what if you got the resources before so we can prepare you for these applications and for these interviews? And even if you don't get a job with us, fine, as long as we help you and give you some resources that you can use somewhere else.
Yeah, I think, I don't remember if I mentioned it in our previous segment or a couple of segments before, but like, the same thing, didn't realize how diverse the city was in jobs. My grandma kept saying, go take the civil service test. I'm like, nah, I don't think I want to work for the city. You know, you think of public servants and they're just kind of like, mom and grumpy and don't want to help you. And that's absolutely not true anymore. And just the different, like, we've got 28 different departments at the City of Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And how many different job titles are in there?
I think it's over 1,200, so 1,500 or something. Yep. So there are so many different ones that we use across the enterprise. So it's like, do people know this? If they think of city, they think of just the, always the political pieces, but there a lot of our work is so meaningful, and people don't even know that they have a place there.
Yep, I agree. I'm a big advocate for getting people to work for the City of Minneapolis. So what can residents expect when they attend this HR Bridges event?
So, well, you can expect the energy to be electrifying because I'm going to be there.
I love it.
Fill out as much energy as possible. You can expect to maybe get some unanswered questions answered, walk away with some resources, put names to faces. So like, you may have heard, the recruiter, but I've never been able to meet with her. Or who are these people behind these job postings? What is it that you guys do? Who are these hiring managers? I saw a 911 call taker, but who works in this department? So you can kind of like step into our world a little bit, and we can kind of like connect and show you how, an example of our workplace culture. And also you can get some questions answered without it, you feeling it's going to penalize you for asking after the fact or before of any questions before submitting an application. So hopefully we'll be able to, what people can expect is a return on the investment, and they can get some gainful employment. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. I just talking about this, but I love doing recruitment. I really enjoyed being in HR. I think some of the things that I think about are, don't be scared away by the requirements. Mm-hmm. You know, you brought up the word equivalency. You know, a lot of the jobs that we have, there is an equivalency statement in there. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to have that degree in that specific field. If you've been doing the work, it's worth it. Let them tell you no,
right,
is what I like to say. Go ahead, put the application in if you're interested in it. I think going to the HR Bridges event would be a good opportunity for folks who kind of just thought, I don't know about working for the city. I just advise you, go check it out. Check out some of the different job titles, the different vacancies that are there. Look at the job announcements. Don't get scared off by what the requirements say, because a lot of times there is the opportunity to put in as an equivalency. Because people have a lot of gifts to offer, a lot of talent to offer to come and work for the city. So the first HR Bridges is being held over north. So is it just for residents on the north side?
No, so this is open to any and everyone. You can be north side, south side, St. Paul. It's literally a resource for everyone. I live in St. Paul now. Don't tell anybody. But so it's
between me.
just between us. So it's for everyone. The first one is at that Career Force Center on Broadway, but the second one will be Southside. So hopefully this is well received and beneficial to the community. It's something that we can do routinely, and we don't have to do it, you know, twice a year. It can be something that we offer, just give an example, every third Thursday of the month. Mm-hmm. So this is just the pilot. This is where we started. That's the neighborhood that I was born in. So I started there, and I'm not going to finish there. We're gonna touch everybody, but everyone is welcome.
Excellent. So you can find your way over to the north side and join the HR Bridges event. Here's one of the things that I want to know about, because I know what they are and I know how good they are. For those that are looking to become a city employee, what are some of the benefits of working for the city of Minneapolis?
Some of the benefits are, of course, we have really great healthcare options. you guys know we work here. We also have paid parental leave, which is a plus. Yep. I think it's up to 12 weeks.
Yeah, that wasn't there when I started. So it's new. Yeah, it's good.
Paid parental leave. We have career development opportunities. And also, we touched on the employee resource groups, the ERGs. Maine is one of them. I'm part of MBIN, the Minneapolis Black Employee Network. And our talent acquisition unit just took over the ERG groups. And we're planning to do some really magical things over there. Not just that, it's a supportive environment. You can move around if you like. You don't have to just stay siloed in one department. There are lots of opportunities that open. You can also check us out online if you go to www.cityofminneapolis.com, and you can type in the search bar benefits. It can give you a full overview of our benefits.
All right. Thank you. What was I just going to say? So one of the benefits I think you touched on a little bit was the ability to move around the city. Mm-hmm. That was me. I mentioned I started in the human resources department, and actually the job that I'm in now as the American Indian Community Specialist, it's had different names. It's been at the city. This position has existed for more than 50 years. Wow. It originated in the mayor's office. And I don't think that we share enough that the city has a legacy of relationship and engagement with the American Indian community. But this is the only other position in the city outside of human resources that I wanted to do. And so having that ability to move around has benefited me. And I know it's benefited a few other folks that I've been friends with across the enterprise. So I really want to thank you. It has been a joy to have you on the show tonight. And I was really surprised and happy to see how it kind of just wove together, talking about the ERG and then talking about job opportunities at the city. And I hope to see you one more time quickly, the event.
May 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., 800 West Broadway. It's a Wednesday. There's on the street parking. Come and eat. Come and get some resources. I'll be there. Hope to see you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great show, Christine. Native Roots Radio presents American Air. We'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, join us to discuss today's event. See you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
I've never been a big gourmet food guy. Like, I really think that the way you grow up and your palate, like, a lot of that you stick to. I wonder if it's the opposite, because I obviously don't know. If you grow up and you're eating gourmet food your whole life and everything, and you can't afford that anymore, I mean, do you adjust? Is there a Sam's Club generic version of, you know, escargot?
Of caviar, maybe? Yeah, caviar. I don't know, you know.
Yes, it's called food poisoning.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.